Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, affectionately known as WUF. I'm Salima Malson. My pronouns are she and her. And for those who are visually impaired, I am just under 5 feet tall, a little on the round side, and wearing this morning a white top trimmed in brown and wearing some brown beads. I have graying hair, also hearing aids, but that's irrelevant. And it is indeed my privilege to share time with you in beloved community this morning. Whoever, wherever, and however you are right now, whether you're here in the sanctuary or downstairs or at home watching on screen, we are so glad to be together with you. Whatever your age, abilities, the color of your skin, whomever you love, how you identify your gender, or where you call home, whether you have a relationship with religion or not, and whether your heart is joyous or hurting this morning, you are all welcome here. So today's service is about identifying and holding close what brings us joy. It's about looking at life, the one with the capital L, and our lives in particular, with kindness and compassion. This morning's message will come from the Reverend Connie Yost, who is a dedicated social activist and one of WUF's community ministers, and she will light our chalice for us this morning. And if you look at the screen, you'll see that there is a responsive reading. It is about this house. As we light our chalice this morning, may its flame remind us that this house is for the ingathering of all nature, human and otherwise, a welcoming space that embraces both struggle and celebration, that guards the dignity and value of every person, including children, each one loved and respected exactly as they are. This house offers a platform for free voice and the mutually respectful expression of conflicts of opinion. It is a house of truth-seeking, where scientists can encourage devotion to their quest in community with humanists, pagans, and spiritual seekers alike. It is a house of art and music, where our shared ministry is enhanced by new ideas and creativity. It is a house of prophecy, outrunning times past and times present with its ever-evolving vision of growth and progress. This house is both the cradle for our dreams and the workshop that brings our dreams to life. So now let's start taking a look at our life in jelly beans.
These are roughly 28,835 jelly beans. I counted out 500 of them and used those to weigh the rest. In this pile, there's one jelly bean for each day that the average American will live. You might have more beans in your life, or maybe less, but on average, this is the time we have. Here's a single bean. It's your very first day. A special day, but kind of a rough day on everyone involved. Add 364 more and you have the first year of your life. Now, for a sense of scale, here are your first 15 years, 5,475 days, which brings us to the threshold of adulthood, and at that moment, this is the time that we have left. And this is, on average, what we will do with all that time. We will be asleep for a total of 8,477 days. If we're lucky, some of that time we'll be sleeping next to someone we love. We will be in the process of eating, drinking, or preparing food for 1,635 days. We'll be at work, hopefully doing something satisfying, for the equivalent of 3,202 of those days. 1,099 days will be spent commuting or traveling from one place to another. Maybe a little bit more if you live in L.A. On average, we will watch television in one form or another for a total of 2,676 days. Household activities, like chores and tending to our pets and shopping, will take another 1,576 days. And we will care for the needs and well-being of others, our friends and family, for 564 days. We'll spend 671 days bathing, grooming, and doing all other bathroom-related activities. And another 720 days will go to community activities, like religious and civic duties, charities, and taking classes. After we remove all those beans, this is what remains. This is the time that we have left. Time for laughing, swimming, making art, going on hikes, text messages, reading, checking Facebook, playing softball, maybe even teaching yourself how to play the guitar. So what are you going to do with this time? How much of it do you think you've already used up? If you only had half of it, what would you do differently? What about half of that? How much time have you already spent worrying instead of doing something that you love? What if you just had one more day? What are you going to do today?
What are we going to do today? Well, find some jelly beans. Start with jelly beans. That's always good. Yes. Yes. Well, if the children would like to come up, I know there's children in the sanctuary this morning, and maybe we can talk a little bit about what you're going to do today. We thought we had something different happening right now, but we don't. So we have to do what we call improvise. Come on up, kids, and let's talk a little bit.
Kara's here.
Kara, then please come up. So we don't have to improvise. All right, now it's time for a real treat.
Because that's what we do anyways when we get up here. And we're going to need all the kiddos on stage today. So come up on stage. And I'm going to give you some boom whackers. Anybody played with boom whackers before? Oh, perfect. So we're going to need kind of three groups. So you can be in group one, group two, group three. So start lining up, and I'll give you your boom whackers. You're in two, then you be in the middle. Okay, line up right here and face out here, and I'll get you your boom whacker. Okay. All right, we're going to sing a song about joy. I'm going to have you guys start.
My hands are full.
Let's see. Perfect. Right there. You two are one group, so scoot to your side. And then we've got group two. And boom whackers are real fun. You need to just hit them. They can hit against each other or maybe even on the floor or something hard, maybe not around the chalice, but maybe not the piano, but find something, floor, handrail, that's probably pretty good. Irene's already found her boom whackers. Excellent. Here, I'm going to have, there's for you. And then smaller group three, I'm going to have you have two. And you can just hit them together like that. Let's see if we can have adults help us. So let's see. Group one, you're with the gals over here. Right. Howard's group two. Here, I'm going to have you hit those. You don't, they're boom whackers. You don't have to do any. Okay, group three. Okay, so I'm going to scoot Avery over here. Group one, two, three. Oh, right here. You play them on the floor. It's perfect. If you want to work with your partner, tap them. Okay, so we're singing a song about joy. Okay, everybody, eyes on me, and good. So we've got one, two, three. Okay, when I point at you, you're going to just hit one time. Ready? Watch me. Here we go. And one, 2, 3. Maybe not, you know, next to the chalice, because we're going to get excited, right? Maybe go there, or even on the handrail. Group 2 wants to go on the handrail. Okay, that was really good. Let's try it again. Ready? And... Oh, and you're in 2. So scooch, yep. There we go. That's good. Oh, you're in 3. There we go. Here we go. Ready? See if we can do a little bit faster. 2. Ready. And 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. We're going to change the rhythm a little bit. So it's going to sound like 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Excellent. Okay, does anybody know what song we're singing about joy today?
I know. I'm on
Columbia
at home.
That's true. We practice at home. So we're going to give it a try. Everybody repeat after me. We're going to sing, Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Was a good friend of mine. He was a good friend of mine. 1, 2, 3. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him drink his juice. Don't fail me, adult, because we know that he really had some very good juice. Okay, here we go. So we're going to sing all that part together, okay? And then we're going to get a chance to rock out at the end, okay? So let's give it a try. We're all going to sing, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, 1, 2, 3. He was a good friend of mine, 1, 2, 3. All right, y'all got it? Excellent, here we go.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him drink his juice. And he always had some really good juice.
Yeah, he did. Excellent. Very good. All right, so we're going to sing now a big joy to the world with everybody. Sorry, Irene. Big joy to the world. And when we sing joy to the world, you all can rock out on your boom whackers. You can do it gently with a partner. Hit the floor, hit the handrail, not the chalice, not the mic, and you can kind of rock out a little bit. Okay, here we go. Joy, here we go, ready? Joy
to the world. All the boys and girls. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me.
Hey, nice job. All right. So here's where we're going to do a little improv. We said joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. See, can someone point to where the fish is in the sea? Anybody know where they are? That way, right? They're that way. Yeah, they're that way. There we go. So joy, we spread our joy to the fishes in the sea. Who can think of something else that we want to spread joy to today? Yeah, what are we going to give joy to today?
Nature.
Nature. Okay, then somebody think, where is nature? Where is it?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Maybe nature all around. Okay, we've got to remember, we've got to use our brains to remember our new lyrics, the juice, and nature all around. So let's give it a try. Now we're really getting good. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Ready?
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him drink his juice. And he always had some really good juice.
Nature all around. Ready? Rock out. Singing joy
to the world. dances in the fields. Joy to you and me.
Joy to nature.
Joy to nature that is all around. Joy to you and me.
Hey, let's do one more. Okay, can somebody think something we want to spread joy to today? Yeah, Avery. Cats. Somebody tell me, where might we find some cats to spread joy to?
Everywhere.
At home? The cats at home? Let's try that. This last one, we're going to say joy to the cats at home. Here we go. We've got the fishes in the deep blue sea, nature all around, and to the cats at home. Here we go.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. I never thought you stood a single word he said, but I helped him drink his juice. And he always had some really good juice. Singing joy to the world. All the boys and girls. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. To nature. Joy to the nature that is all around. Joy to you and me.
To the cats.
Joy to the cats that are waiting at home. Joy to you and me.
Hey! Hey! I want everyone on stage to take the invisible glass of water on your head and dump it onto the audience. Thank you very much.
Yes.
You all did so good. Thank you for helping me spread joy to everyone here and everyone all around. And I hope you have a really joyful rest of your day. We can put the crackers in here.
All right. And to help that joyful day get going, let's all stand, form arches across the aisles, and sing these delightful singing children to their classes. Obviously, we are not quite following the order of service that you received this morning, but we'll get it all done. We'll get it all done, I promise you. And I apologize to Kara for not recognizing that she had, in fact, arrived. So let's go directly to the facts of life. This is a poem by the Irish poet and one of my favorites, Padraic O'Tuama, and it is titled The Facts of Life. That you were born and you will die. That you will sometimes love enough and sometimes not. That you will lie, if only to yourself. That you will get tired. That you will learn most from the situations you did not choose. That there will be some things that move you more than you can say. That you will avoid questions most urgently in need of your attention. And that you began as the fusion of a sperm and an egg of two people who once were strangers and may well still be. That life isn't fair. That life is sometimes good and sometimes better than good. That life is often not so good.
that life is real. And if you can survive it, well, survive it well, with love and art and meaning given where meaning is scarce. That you will learn to live with regret. That you will learn to live with respect. That the structures that constrict you may not be permanently constraining. That you will probably be okay. And that you must accept change before you die. But you will die anyway. So you might as well live. And you might as well love. You might as well love. You might as well love. This week, my daughter and her husband were all packed and ready to board a plane for Maui. It was a 2-week trip that included their younger son, his wife, and their 2 kids. Their flight was to leave at 6 a.m. on Thursday. They had wanted to leave on Tuesday, but weren't able to get tickets. Life isn't fair. It is sometimes good, sometimes better than good. Often it is not so good. And sometimes it's hard to see the difference. Sometimes, especially when you're 10 and 13, it is hard to know what to be grateful for. As is our custom, we'll take a few moments now to consider what it is that we are each most grateful for, and what it is that we, as part of this community, have to give. We are a gathering of creative beings with much to offer each other and the larger world. Thank you all for your generous offerings this morning. Let us speak together our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. Our reading this morning is from a book called Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert. And it's being offered by Reverend Connie Yost, who will be giving our sermon shortly. Reverend Connie is an ordained Unitarian Universalist minister. She currently serves as the president of the Board of Farm Workers Ministry Northwest and serves on the board of the National Farm Workers Ministry. She's the founder and coordinator of Friends Stay Warm, a nonprofit ministry dedicated to supporting low-wage workers and immigrants, workers and immigrant detainees through cash assistance and advocacy. She serves on the Faith Labor Committee of Portland Jobs with Justice and is on the UUA Poor People's Campaign Leadership Council. Connie also serves as a trained spiritual director, preacher, teacher, activist, and minister of rites of passage. Please welcome Connie Yost.
Thank you, Salima. Now, this is the hard part. Thank you. So this is from Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Eat, Pray, Love, if you remember that from a few years ago. It's quite a phenomenon. So it was in a bathtub in New York, reading Italian words aloud from a dictionary, that I first started mending my soul. My life had gone to bits, and I was so unrecognizable to myself that I probably couldn't have picked me out of a police lineup. But I felt a glimmer of happiness when I started studying Italian. And when you sense a faint potentiality for happiness after such dark times, you must grab on to the ankles of that happiness and not let go until it drags you face first out of the dirt. This is not selfishness, but obligation. You were given life. It is your duty, and also your entitlement as a human being, to find something beautiful within life, no matter how slight.
No matter how slight. I love that line. We know that there is a lot of joy in the world. We know that there is a lot of sorrow in the world, in the big world and in our own little world. Here at WOF, on Sunday mornings, we take some time to honor those joys and sorrows and everything in between. Whatever is on your heart this morning, if you would like to, please feel free to come forward in the next few minutes. Put whatever it is into a stone, and then place that stone into the water. I like to think of the water as the community that we are, the place where we divide our sorrows and multiply our joys.
So, good morning. As Salima has mentioned a couple times, I am the Reverend Connie Yost, your affiliated community minister here at WOF, and I am very grateful to be here and very grateful for you being here. Thank you. So, what brings you joy? I know that when I started to think about that, it just felt like such a big question that I was stumped. It seemed like joy, when did I last do a happy dance? When was I last ecstatic? But then thinking about it more deeply, I realized that joy is found in moments. In the midst of even our most painful times, joy can still be available to us. Sometimes life just gets in our way, and we find ourselves so focused on survival that we forget about the joy in life. Most of us eventually ask ourselves the question, is this all there is? We may not feel that we have to make a major change, like leave our spouse, enter seminary, buy a Harley, or just move somewhere. But most of us at some point hunger for more in our life. We may not know that what we are hungering for is greater consciousness of what brings us joy. We may not be aware that what we truly long for is to know and to understand the purpose and meaning of our life. We may just feel a listlessness where there once seemed to be more joy. It may seem pointless to strive for goals that once seemed important. The future, once viewed as holding out bright promise, may have faded to a dulling sameness where each day seems to repeat itself in boring succession. For what are you most grateful? And for what are you least grateful? In the book Sleeping with Bread, author Dennis Lynn writes that in 25 years of giving spiritual retreats, he has found that regardless of culture or age group, these questions are the most helpful way for people to find direction in their lives. For what are you most grateful? And for what are you least grateful? The title, Sleeping with Bread, is taken from accounts of children orphaned in World War II who had lost so much they could not sleep at night. They feared waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food. Nothing seemed to reassure them until someone hit upon the idea of giving each child a piece of bread to hold at bedtime. Holding their bread, these children could finally sleep in peace. Sleeping with bread is a metaphor for holding what gives you life. For what are you most grateful? And for what are you least grateful? In the book Eat, Pray, Love, author Elizabeth Gilbert travels for a year to Italy, India, and Bali, seeking healing from her divorce. She spends her first 4 months in Italy surrounded by beauty and eating her way to pleasure. The reading today explained why she chose Italy. It was because when she was in the darkness of depression, reading Italian brought her joy. The language was music to her ears, and she listened. She listened, and a little flutter of happiness rose up through the muck of the guilt, sadness, confusion, depression, and anger that had become her life. A tiny bit of life poked its head out through the wasteland, and she sensed a way out of depression and into the tentative beginnings of happiness. While in Italy, she confronted head-on all the reasons why she should not be giving herself over to beauty and the pleasure of eating every day. She realized that the Italian ideal, no matter how hard-working a people they are, and pardon my Italian, which I don't have, is il bel far niente, the beauty of doing nothing. Coupled with another Italian expression, the art of making something out of nothing. And there you have the short version of how to attain happiness. You know, it's not only the big things in life that bring happiness. The marriages, the births, the graduations, the successes, the achievements. It's the cultivation of consciousness, that attention to the small things, the things of beauty, the things like reading Italian that bring us joy, that may be our ticket to happiness. Letting go of the striving for achievement and settling into the beauty of doing nothing, there is a gratitude for an acceptance of what is. Remember that bumper sticker, bloom where you are planted. When we notice the small things that bring us joy, we can accept the gift of life as it is, joy and pain intertwined, and eventually come to the place where we can say, maybe everything is all right after all. For what are you most grateful? And for what are you least grateful? These questions, called the examine, are derived from the spiritual exercises by St. Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Society of Jesuits in the early 16th century. St. Ignatius himself deeply experienced the moments of consolation and desolation that these questions attempt to reveal in his conversion from a wild soldier to a devout pilgrim. Using the examine on a daily basis can help us be aware that even seemingly small, insignificant moments can provide clues to what is important or missing in our lives. Remembering at the end of the day the moments in which I felt at peace, I can be aware of what I need more of in my life. Remembering the feelings of unease, or perhaps most importantly, moments in the day when I shut down my feelings, helps me gain insight into what is not working in my life. Done on a regular basis, the examine can help keep us open to our feelings, allowing us to right our course in those everyday, small ways that ultimately keep us on track. The examine is a gentle reminder that who we are and what we feel is important. For what are you most grateful? For what are you least grateful? I think the questions are crucial because they help us stay close to our center in a culture that seems to want to give us every reason to deny and forget who we are. They are an especially powerful tool when shared with loved ones as we invite them into the inner recesses of our heart. In Sleeping with Bread, there is an exercise called the final examine, kind of like the jelly bean thing, which helps you get in touch with your sealed orders, the special purpose of your life. In the exercise, you imagine that you are 90 years old, 95, 100, whatever age you think you might be, and you're dying. As you look back over the events of your life, you answer the questions of the examine. What would you have done differently? For what are you most grateful? For what are you least grateful? All of this has been brought home to me with ever greater clarity in my ministry work, especially when I worked as a hospice and a hospital chaplain. Working with dying patients and their families, I have been privileged to enter that veiled reality in which all prior notions of achievement, success, and identity have been stripped away, and there in the bed is the sheer essence of their being. Just being, not doing. Those who cultivated kindness and gratitude in their life are kind to the end. I cannot tell you how many times even the sickest patient has croaked out a thank you or made a heroic effort to smile. I've had a lady with dementia who never said a word to me in all the years I went to visit her. And then one day she suddenly said, thank you. And she died that night. It's pretty powerful. I often thought about the song Both Sides Now as I went from our busy, driven world through that door into those private worlds of sheer being. I loved Elizabeth Gilbert's account of her journey through depression as she aptly describes the process of getting in touch with our deepest self, the self, well, where wisdom speaks to us if we would only listen. Some of us call this still, silent voice God. Some of us call it the eternal. Some of us may have no name for it at all. Does not matter what name we give it. It just matters that we find a way to listen to the urgings deep inside us. Answering the questions of the examine on a daily basis can help us cultivate that deep listening. Elizabeth Gilbert had the courage to act upon one prompting of her deepest self, her joy in speaking Italian. But prior to that, she had acted upon another prompting, which caused her to leave her marriage, which generated much hurt, anger, and strife between her and her husband. I imagine she might have asked herself these questions before she made that decision. What am I doing because I enjoy it? And what am I doing because I should? In her case, she realized she did not want children. Having come to this conclusion, she worried about how she would claim the meaning and purpose of her life in a culture that assigns immediate status to those who have children. And I think this is true for anyone who steps out of a traditional role or has difference thrust upon them. If you're struggling because you're considered different, try to put those feelings aside and listen for your sealed orders. The still, small voice inside will lead you to your purpose, to joy, and to acceptance of who you are. But it's not enough to know. We have to have the courage to act out of our deepest self, even if it means risking criticism or ridicule or worse. For what are you most grateful? For what are you least grateful? In his work Using the Examine with Spiritual Seekers over many years, Dennis Lynn often works with people who are afraid to look at what they are least grateful for, their desolations. Many of us were taught that our feelings of desolation, such as lust and anger, were sinful, or we were simply told we were wrong and it's really okay. He makes the distinction between acting upon feelings and listening to their story. He writes, "Such teaching assumed that if we resisted certain feelings, they would go away. However, this isn't how feelings work. When feelings are ignored or resisted, they grow inside us and are likely to eventually lead to an explosion in which we act out in even more destructive ways than we might have at first. We believe that what negative feelings or desolations really want is not destructive behavior, but rather just to have their story told and heard. When their story is heard, they are satisfied and they quiet down naturally. If we then take steps to meet the needs revealed by the story, this desolation is unlikely to occur." It can be frightening to stay with a desolation long enough to hear its story. Sometimes we may resist hearing its message, as we intuitively sense that should we hear its story, we will have to face some major changes in our life. Sometimes the story is just too painful, and we don't feel safe enough to hear it. If this is the case for you, be gentle with yourself. Know that what ultimately heals is love. So begin by letting yourself be loved in the midst of resistance and fear. Talk with a trusted spouse, friend, therapist, spiritual director, or minister. Go slowly into the story. Ask for guidance, support, and love. Practice being compassionate with yourself. And sometimes we simply do not know what our desolations are trying to say to us. If that is the case for you, it may be that what your desolation is saying to you is, "I need you to do more of what brings you consolation." Dennis Lynn writes that what we feel grateful for in a day generally is something that has an energy we need. And what we feel not so grateful for generally involves a frustrated or unmet need. Thus, our consolation may reveal to us and help meet the unmet need behind the desolation. I've been practicing the examine for many years now, and what I find is that this cultivated heightened awareness reveals to me that I have received and continue to receive many gifts of consolation, and that my moments of desolation tend not to be random, but fall into very distinct patterns of unmet needs, many of which stem from the early years of my life. Don't think it's about achieving perfection or not making mistakes, at least not for me. But I know that I feel a deep grounding in knowing that I have a way in which I can notice, celebrate, and act upon my deepest passions and heartfelt sense of joy and gratitude. While engaged in this spiritual practice, I have discovered the grace of chance encounters, friends and mentors who said or did something that profoundly affected me, books that spoke to me, and the natural world which revealed its regenerative life and beauty to me. So many gifts all around me, all the time, far more than I am aware of, I am sure. And I believe these gifts are present in our life no matter our age or circumstance. We just have to notice them. My mother, who towards the end of her life only left the house once per week to go to church and the grocery store, but she spoke of how she enjoyed her life and the knitting she did for charity. My friend Jan, disabled for many years and living in an adult foster home, found joy in being a good friend. Mom and Jan inspire me to gratitude. For what are you most grateful? Perhaps, like me, the question will help you realize that you've already received many gifts that you have taken for granted. Perhaps you will more fully discern that still small voice that calls to you. And perhaps, like Elizabeth Gilbert, your gratitude will inspire you to seek new ways of being in the world and to go deeper into what brings you joy. And for what are you least grateful? Perhaps recognizing the areas of ingratitude in your life may help clear the way for gratitude. However we come to gratitude, from love, as Elizabeth Gilbert did in her love of Italian, or through a long process of reconciling pain and ingratitude, may gratitude be our call to authentic action. May we honor and stay ever conscious, ever aware of the deepest feelings and yearnings of our heart. Thank you. I'm grateful for you. Amen and blessed be.
Thank you, Connie. There is more joy somewhere. And it's within each of us and all of us. May we know it. May we know it today. And as we extinguish our chalice, which Reverend Connie is going to do for us, I'd like us to pay attention to the video that we're going to watch now. If you are inclined to stand up and dance a little, you are welcome.
secret night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Let us leave the sanctuary together and make our way downstairs for coffee and conversation. It's air conditioned down there, too. before we head out to our week. So if we'll stand and we'll make circles facing each other, front to back and around.
Carry your faith on me.